specializing in land brokerage. Introduction. Many license holders specialize in the sale of unimproved property. Buyers of unimproved property invest in anticipation of an increase in value through appreciation. Raw land generally lacks any improvements and may not have access to electric, sewer, and water. These investors have the means to purchase and hold these non-productive properties without the cash flow and tax benefits associated with other types of investment real estate. The primary determinants of the future value of a parcel of land are the availability of jobs in the surrounding area and the development of the utility and transportation infrastructure. Land brokerage is fraught with environmental, ecological, and historical preservation issues that can delay the development of acreage, entangling landowners and developers in time-consuming litigation. Land brokerage is the specialization that can most often lead to costly litigation. Selling land for commercial development is different from selling farm and ranch real estate. Agents listing and selling land for working farms and ranches must have specialized knowledge of the land itself, of the equipment used to work the land, and the special financing available for agricultural land. However, in both specializations, land can be challenging to broker. There are many concerns when brokering a land deal. For example, can the buyer get utilities to the site? Where do water and sewer come from? Are there any easements running across the land, and are they in perpetuity? Buyers also have to be aware of any environmental concerns connected to the land, such as contaminated farmland, protected wetlands, endangered species, trees, mineral rights, hunting leases, water rights, air rights, and wind rights. For these reasons, land brokerage deserves its own chapter, outlining the types of land ownership that can exist and the kinds of discoveries, environmental, ecological, historical, that can cause setbacks and headaches for the owners and possible lawsuits for brokers. Agents involved in brokering raw land for development must do their due diligence, discovering and disclosing potential land-related issues their clients might encounter when purchasing acreage for commercial purposes. Land, real estate, and real property. Land, real estate, and real property are terms that are used so interchangeably that most people do not realize they are, in fact, very different. These rights are severable, and it is common for different individuals to own different rights of the same piece of land. For example, many surface owners do not own the subsurface rights to their property, land. Land is defined as the surface of the earth, extending downward to the center of the earth and upward above the surface to infinity. This definition also includes natural things such as trees, crops, and water. Real estate. Real estate includes all that is encompassed in land, with the addition of all man-made additions to the land, improvements, such as roads, houses, and commercial buildings. Real property. Real property is a broader term that goes beyond the physical real estate and includes the rights that a person has in the land. These rights are often referred to as the bundle of rights. Air rights. Air rights extend above the surface without limitation. As an estate in land or interest in land, air rights can be leased, sold, or mortgaged. Walkways and buildings that extend over public streets involve the lease or conveyance of air rights. Outdoor advertising leases and cell tower leases also involve air rights by prohibiting any activity that would block the view of the billboard or transmissions from the cell tower. Surface rights. The owner of surface rights can develop, improve the surface, and use resources extracted from or near the surface, including stone, gravel, water, and limestone. Subsurface rights. Subsurface rights include the rights to oil, gas, and other minerals, and are commonly conveyed through a lease, mineral deed, or by reservation. A conflict exists when the owner of the subsurface estate uses the surface of the land for drilling or extraction purposes, because this use of the surface may seem to be to the detriment of the surface owner. The subsurface estate is the dominant estate in Texas. Because of the dominance of the subsurface estate, the surface owner cannot deny access to the subsurface owner. While dominant, there are limitations placed upon the exercise of subsurface rights. The subsurface owner may not extract minerals that are situated so close to the surface as to deplete the surface estate. Typical examples would include strip mining for coal or iron ore. Given the high level of oil and gas activity in Texas, the subsurface estate of a particular parcel of land is often divided into fractional interests spread across a large number of owners. The determination of subsurface ownership, rights, and interests is complex, and purchasers of real estate who are concerned about subsurface rights should consult the advice of an oil and gas attorney. The subsurface estate is the dominant estate in Texas. The surface is subservient to the minerals. The mineral estate. The surface is subservient to the minerals. The mineral estate, usually referred to by the legal profession, is like a three-layer cake. During the Mexican land grant days, the minerals moved, undisturbed, with the land, sale after sale. The state of Texas changed that law in the 20th century, allowing the estate to be severed. Nominally, surface rights are transferred to the new owner in total. If there are questions concerning the ownership of the mineral estate, a landman can research deeds and advise who owns the minerals. How should the cake be cut? One side leaving 3/4 in place. Down the middle. Keep the bottom layer yourself. Take the top layer off. Take it all. Cut the middle layer out. Give it all. It is the royalty and executive rights that are most commonly severed. In addition to minerals rights, water rights may also be retained, sold, or even severed. A royalty right is the right to collect a royalty for the production of oil or gas in a production unit. An executive right is the right to execute a contract or lease for the exploration of oil or gas. It is not uncommon for there to be separate and various owners of either the royalty or executive rights. Thus, the estate is severed. Ownership terms. Minerals, oil, gas, coal, gravel, geos, bauxite, etc. Surface, right to control access or ingress and egress. Executive, right to execute a contract or lease. Royalty, right to collect for production. Various forms of ownership. 1. Landowner owns all or some portion of the surface. 2. Landowner owns all or some portion of executive rights. 3. Landowner owns all or some portion of mineral, but no executive rights. 4. Landowner owns all or some portion of minerals and royalty. 5. Landowner owns nothing. Ownership of a property gives the owner the right to limit public access to his or her property. The owner may, for example, post signs notifying the public of no entrance, no trespassing, no hunting, no fishing, no trucks, not a public road. Surface, in mineral terms, has a much different meaning from the surface granted to the owner for public access. Property owners with only the surface rights granted under the mineral estate have the right to contract for sand, gravel, yellow cake, or even soft coal to be taken off their property by third-party vendors. The surface owner has no right to refuse any oil or gas exploration company from entering his property for that purpose. Thus, ownership of surface rights gives no protection for oil or gas production. Many real estate professionals believe that ownership of the surface gives the owner of the property complete protection for any activity when, in fact, it does not. An example of a severed mineral estate may look like this. Landowner owns the surface rights only. Previous owner and his partner retained all or 100% of the royalty and own 50% each. Someone else owns 100% of the executive rights. The exploration company then comes to the executive rights owner to complete a lease agreement for the property owned above. The well is drilled on the owner's property, with some concessions being granted to the landowner. Since he does not own any share of the royalty, the landowner cannot share in the revenue of the well. If any oil or gas is found during the production period, then the two royalty owners would share in the royalties. Typical participation of each of these owners is 1. Surface owner and owner of the land, in most cases, may negotiate improvements on his property, such as gravel roads, cattle guards, future use of any water wells, fencing, and general location of the wellhead. He may also negotiate reasonable damages to his property. 2. The royalty owners share in the revenue of the production according to their ownership. 3. The executive owner may negotiate signing bonuses, yearly payments in the form of bonuses, and even in some cases, a small part of the production company's royalty, if any. In all of these cases, it is advisable for the participants to get legal advice before agreeing to any terms or signing any contracts or agreements. Mineral matters. Because the oil and gas business is prevalent in Texas, and because the subsurface estate is the dominant estate in the state, many questions may arise regarding mineral interests and land rights. The buyer and seller may negotiate several provisions in a reservation clause. For example, will the seller retain all or just a specific portion of the mineral estate? Will the seller reserve all minerals or just certain minerals? Will the seller retain all executive rights? Will there be any limitations on drilling? If the reservation clause involves anything more than a simple reservation clause, the broker will likely need to suggest that the parties seek the assistance of counsel, who can draft an appropriate addendum to the contract. A broker will not want to move into the unauthorized practice of law by drafting a complex legal clause or addendum. Most exploration companies, as well as some title companies, utilize professionals called landmen. Many of these landmen are independent contractors who do freelance work, or they may be salaried employees working for the exploration company. Their job is to research ownership of all the mineral estate. To determine ownership of the minerals, they may pull all the deeds on a property, all the way back to the sovereignty. They may also research old or present lease agreements on the land to determine ownership. The Texas Railroad Commission controls all drilling for oil and gas in the state and regulates all drilling activity in the state. Agents should educate their clients on mineral issues and take the proper steps prior to the expiration of the option period. These steps should include having a professional research the deed of the property in question in order to determine ownership of the minerals. Determining what the client wants. Requesting the client's wants in the offer, or through other means, always in writing. Negotiating with the seller during the option period. Surface waiver could be used if there is no present lease in place and the seller owns the mineral estate. The waiver promises that the seller will not drill on the property as described, but allows him to join a pool and enjoy royalties. The waiver protects the buyer from any production on the property. This waiver will survive closing, so it becomes a restriction on the property in the deed. Designated drill sites may be used if there is no lease in place at the time of the sale to the buyer. This designates mutually agreed to drill sites that can only be used by the exploration company in case they want to drill. Minerals and steps. The buyer gains so much of the minerals in a period of time. For example, the buyer is granted 10% of all the estate each year for 10 years. Mineral estate in a life estate. When the seller dies, the minerals convey to the buyer. Water rights. Riparian rights are the rights that an owner has to use water from a river or a stream on or next to a property. Literal rights are the rights to use water from a lake, ocean, or sea on or next to property. The water may be used for domestic purposes and may not be contaminated. The flow of the water may not be interrupted. The right to use water is a valuable asset, and in many states, it is not an automatic right. These rights do not allow a claim of ownership of the water, and the state may refuse to grant water rights if there is a scarcity or shortage of water. For non-navigable waters, landowners may own to the middle of the body of water. For navigable waters, landowners own to the vegetation line. The state owns most surface water in Texas. Prior appropriation is a theory of water law based on the idea that first in time is first in right. The first landowner to claim riparian rights has the exclusive right to take all the water for specific beneficial uses. subsequent owners of nearby properties cannot claim water rights. Water rights acquired under this theory are referred to as appropriative rights. Texas water law states that groundwater belongs to the owner. Surface water, on the other hand, belongs to the state of Texas. Wind rights. Everyone knows that Texas is a major player in the energy market. In addition to the oil and gas business, Texas leads the country in harnessing renewable wind energy. Farm owners with extensive acreage may lease their land to wind developers who build turbines on the property in order to convert the wind into energy. Due to the popularity and need for renewable energy sources, many questions have arisen concerning wind rights. Who really owns the wind, and are these rights severable in the same manner that mineral and water rights are severable? These are questions that have no easy answer.